Good afternoon, folks. My name is Craig, and this is the Over the Fence show here on Oregon Community Radio, 98.1 FM, and going over to our friends also on 89.0 Free FM over there in the Waikato, going throughout the Divi. And another beautiful winter's day here in Whangarei. I hope it's the same where you are. And the guest couldn't make it today, so I'm going to go through a men's shed thing a bit later on. But coming up to that, we'll do some primary sector headlines, have a look at some weather, do some gardening to-dos, and maybe some what's on sort of stuff as time goes by. But we'll start the show with this one here by New Zealand band Marlon's Dreaming called Floating. Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you.
All right, folks, that was Marlon's Dreaming there with their song Floating. Sorry, I'm just nibbling on some chips. In fact, it's a bit of a legendary day here. Station manager Aaron Moore, I usually go buy him chips, but today Aaron Moore himself has gone and bought chips from the... So thank you, Aaron. But he has finished them. Anyways, it's time for some Primary Sector headlines here. And as discussed by Aaron and Bruno the other morning, the invasive gold clam discovered in the Waikato River in April has been there for 2 to 3 years, MPI. That's the Ministry of Prime Ministry says. Native to Asia and now found in North and South America and Europe, gold clams have potential to destroy native habitats, clog water supplies and hydro dams if not contained. Efforts elsewhere to eradicate the pest have been unsuccessful, as the clam is self-fertile and able to produce up to 70,000 juveniles a year, far out. Once established, densities can reach tens of thousands per square metre. MP5 officials gave an update on the response to the Waikato River incursion of the Primary Production and Environment Select Committee on Thursday. And Director of Readiness and Response John Walsh said the clam was well established. "We think the clam's been in the Waikato for at least 2 years, possibly 2 to 3, he says. We can tell because of the density and the fact that it's in multiple locations and the size of the cockles. Some shells are close to 3 centimetres and takes about 2 to 3 years to grow to that size." So, yet again, it's another incursion into Aotearoa from overseas diseases or, life forms of one way or another. And unfortunately, as I remember reading somewhere, as, you know, the temperature gets warmer, it's going to get more and more common, right? Because more and more things, especially from Asia, will be able to make a habitat in New Zealand. So, and the question is, what are we going to do about it? If we can do anything, that's the main kind of thing we've got to, I guess, think about. So, yes. Anyways, I think it was up, 30 or 40 Ks along the Waikato, wasn't it, Aaron? Is that right? Was it Bruno saying, you remember? Yeah, something like that. Anyway, yeah, something like 30, 40 Ks, something like that. It's already been located up in the beautiful Waikato River. But anyways, Federated Farmers releases policy, it's a policy rewind wish list for the next government after the election. Sets out a dozen policy changes, including a rethink of the ETS, forestry rules and net zero targets. And on it goes. We'll get you down to the 12 things they want to talk about. And it's... and these are those. Support better use of technologies, unlock potential through water storage, allow young farms to access the KiwiSaver, urgently review our methane targets, rethink our ETS forestry rules and net zero target, scrap the ute tax and fix our infrastructure, give back control to local communities, pretty ambiguous that one, fix our unworkable freshwater rules, RMA reform, right, simplify SNA, significant natural areas, build the farmer workforce and show fiscal and monetary discipline. And I've just been informed by Station Manager Aaron Moore, he's seen another headline where they've given Nationals sort of policy towards farmers 5 stars. So that's kind of the Fed's thing there for you. And this one says, China's stuttering post-COVID recovery may dampen New Zealand export prospects within dairy and forestry exports. And the lifting of COVID-19 restrictions fired an initial strong rebound, but the latest economic data out of China shows growth has slowed, with manufacturing activity, retail sales and industrial output all shrinking. Westpac senior agro-economist Nathan Penny said Chinese demand for New Zealand goods, such as dairy, meat and forestry, has been subdued more than hoped. And he adds, one clear measure of this is that the global dairy prices continue to tick lower over this year, when we would expect them to be starting to hit the other way, he said. So there we are. And we'll finish with this one. Tomatoes are set to be in short supply this winter. Months of low light levels, coupled with last year's crop failures, were being blamed for the shortage. Jerry Prendergast for MG Produce Group said autumn had started with a tight supply, probably greater than the past years gone by. Really short, he said. I think we're not going to see any reprieve from this now through till September. And Prendergast said coppers last year had made it difficult to get back into the planting cycle. He adds it takes quite a bit of time for the growers to get their planting programs back in place, and all of that has hit us early in the season. So said much of the supply was being imported, but the problem was that Australia was also facing crop shortages. So there we are. Your tomatoes are going to be short this winter. Yet another good reason to eat seasonally, ladies and gentlemen. That'll do for the headlines, I feel like. So here goes. The Tall Dwarfs on the dotted line. Let's descend through fog and rain and see if we can find the same way out of this small mess. It's not as if we'll lose our lives or be impaled with carving knives just yet. Not unless we sign the dotted line, so everything will turn out fine. Let's just discard what makes us tick and act like we are really thick and slow. Take pen in hand and sign. There we are, folks. That was Tall Dwarfs, great New Zealand band, with Song Dotted Line. Here goes Radiohead, Burn the Witch. This one goes out for you, request for you, Lethe. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for the feedback, and here we go. Folks, that was Radiohead there with Burn the Witch, and here's the Unknown Mortal Orchestra with their song Nadja, a new one from them.
Thank you.
There we are, folks. That was Unknown Mortgage Orchestra there with Nadja. And weather time now on the Over the Fence show, and it's a beautiful, beautiful day out there in Whangaroa today. Beautiful blue skies, and a little bit of a southerly breeze, but not too much, and it's pretty much like that for most of the country. There's a beautiful big high all over most of the country. There's a few light showers expected for the North Island, the east and south of North Island, and perhaps a shower in the far north and for the Tasman also. Elsewhere, you should see plenty of sun like it is here today after areas of morning fog or mist. And I hear it was a bit foggy inland in the Waikato today. And it could hang around tomorrow morning. They're expecting for quite a while. It was certainly a little bit chilly this morning, I think. I got up about 3:15 and went outside, and there was, I turned on, yeah, it was around about 6, I think, degrees or something like that. But anyway, yeah, so it was a frosty start inland. I don't think we got any frost out here last night or this morning. Well, there may be some tomorrow because I think, yeah, with a beautiful clear day like this, yeah, it'll put the chances up a bit higher. And what have we got coming up for the rest of the week? Well, there's a front move is going to move down from the northwest over the Upper North Island on Friday. And behind there is some unstable air. And this unstable air lingers on till Saturday and then maybe again for Sunday. And the risk isn't high, but low to moderate. And this brings a chance of a few isolated heavy falls with thunderstorms. North of Auckland on Friday, and perhaps more for Northland, and then maybe down into Auckland for Saturday, Sunday. And this front may bring some heavy rain to areas exposed in the east, maybe east Northland, North Auckland, Great Barrier, places like that. And then maybe Coromandel, Blair, plenty as well. So that's sort of coming down from the north west of the North Island. That's slowly coming over. It's going to hit us here in Whangaroa. Yes, it will. Is it going to be heavy? Probably not. So, yeah, that's going to be the next few days. What can we expect temperature-wise? Well, it's going to be pretty much 14 degrees the next 3 days, and then somewhere between, or then generally 16 degrees till kind of next week during the day. That's daytime temperatures, which is pretty good, actually. So sunny today, a little bit cloudy tomorrow, maybe some showers from Friday through the rest of the week, basically. And nighttime temperature is going to be a chilly old 4 tonight. Tomorrow night, 7 degrees. Friday night, 8 degrees. And then somewhere between 9 and 10 degrees at night for the rest of the week. And the winds, they're pretty light south-southwesterly today, east nor-easterly tomorrow, then easterly, then east-south-easterly, then easterlies into Sunday, Monday, and it kind of remains in that quarter. So, yeah, south-southwesterly is today, and then it sort of flips over to an easterly sort of flow from there. Humidity today is 68%, and the sun rose this morning at 7:34, and will set at 5:09. The length of visible light is 10 hours and 32 minutes. And the actual day length is 9 hours and 34 minutes. And tomorrow will be a mere 23 seconds shorter than it is today. So, yes, the it is the shortest day is coming up. Matariki, of course, coming up pretty soon. I think last week, from memory, it was 44 seconds, 45 seconds, something like that. So, yep, not so long now, and it will be the shortest day. And the moon, the beautiful moon, yes, the waning crescent. Yeah, when I, like I say earlier, when I got up about 3:15, it was kind of lying pretty much on its back over the really low on the horizon. The clock was always lying in the top of the trees to the to the northeast, I suppose you'd say. And that will rise tonight at 3:13 and will set at 2:18 p.m. tomorrow. And the new moon, of course, is coming up in Aotearoa on the 18th of June. There's a little bit of weather for you guys, and I'll come back with some gardening to do's after this one. Yet again, thank you, Lucy, for this. This is a bit of a blues one by R.L. Burnside called Going Down South. Girl, it really don't matter.
cause I'm not leaving you. So you're hanging with another man, you gotta get more creative, girl, I ain't believing you. Stop trying, stop contemplating, girl, nothing in this world's gonna make me break. It's gonna take much more to get me out your life. I ain't tiptoe time, I'ma tell you straight.
I'm going with you, babe.
Girl, it really don't matter cause I'm not leaving you. So you're hanging with another man, you gotta get more creative, girl, I ain't believing you. Stop trying, stop contemplating, girl, nothing in this world's gonna make me break. It's gonna take much more to get me out your life. I ain't tiptoe time, I'ma tell you straight.
I'd rather be dead, I'd rather be
Right, folks, that was R.L. Burnside there. I hope you enjoyed that one. And now it's cutting to do's time here on the Over the Fence show, and today being the 14th in the third quarter, or the last quarter of the moon, I should say. It's a good time to weed, feed and mulch the beds of growing crops and pinch out the tips of broad beans for bushier plants. And from Sunday, as the new moon phase comes along, good time to plant out asparagus crowns and feed up existing asparagus crops with a multi-mineral fertiliser and cover with a good layer of compost. It says things to do by the moon, and what can you plant at the start of winter as it is now? Well, a few things, and these are them. Apples, blackberries, blueberries, bok choy, cabbage, cyclamen, daffodil, feed jars, garlic, hyacinth, kale, lettuce, mesclun, onions, parsley, peas, peaches, pears, plums, radish, raspberries, rose, silver beet, spinach, strawberries and tulip. There's a few of the things you can get amongst right now. Now I'm going to play for you Urusai Yatsura with the song Plastic Ashtray.
Yeah. All right, folks, that was Plash Gastro by, try and get the name right here, Urusai Yatsura. I hope you enjoyed that one. And now I'm going to play for you the first of a few little things. We're going to talk about men's sheds mostly for the rest of the show now. Play a few little talks and things about them. And we'll start with this one from Australia, basically outlining the men's shed movement. And here it is.
It's hard to motivate yourself when you've got nothing to motivate you. At one point, I was living in an apartment in the middle of the city that was... rather high up. The thoughts that went through my head are fairly obvious. The number of times I seriously considered that path is beyond count. Depression, to me, you get into a sort of this regiment of get up in the morning because you've got to take tablets. If my diary didn't have anything in it, I'd sit at home. I knew that there was something that needed to be done. I had to decide what. I walked into the shed. I was welcomed into the shed. I felt that it was going to change things. The guys were into doing things. They encouraged community projects. They encouraged you to come along, and even if all you did was sit down and have a cup of coffee with the guys, you were part of the group. It was very, very good to find a place that had the ideals and the camaraderie that I was looking for.
It has been pointed out to me, actually, that if we were the first shed here in Australia, and I'm the last founder member, and I've been going here now for 16 years, I'm probably the longest-serving men's shedder in Australia, which is a bit of a scary thought, really. It makes me feel very old. Men who, when they left work, were having problems. The work had been a big social aspect of their life. And when they left, they found that they were really out on a limb. And this was creating a lot of health problems. We really are a part of a preventative system in that we certainly help in cutting out some of the social isolation. And I think this is a very big factor.
I've been coming to the shed for about 12 months. I'm a fairly new member. It's just given me a different outlook on everything. It's just given me a completely different outlook, different people to talk to. They're all great, you know, group of men, different occupations, and it's interesting to find out what they've done, and it also gets you off your tail. Now, I've really enjoyed coming here, there's no two ways.
Now, what do you usually do with that?
Nothing. How about that for an answer? Nothing. I sit and talk.
Well, men have been brought up, really, that they have this stiff upper lip and they don't talk about things like that. That's part of being a man, and it's that's one of the big things that I see the difference in the men's shed here, that the men are much more able to talk freely about these various things. Women speak face-to-face, they chat to each other. Men don't do it that way. Men learn a lot better standing with another man at the side of him and showing and doing things together and chatting whilst they're doing it.
There's a lot of people, you know, that are 50 and over and they do nothing, but, you know, if I can tell them about the shed, then they might want to come just for a look. You just look forward to something when you know you fit in. See, I don't want to be the token blind man or anything like that. I just want to be one of them, you know, one of the shed people. You know, they've made me feel welcome that way.
When you go overseas and you talk about it, I mean, they all refer to this as the Australian phenomenon, really. I mean, they're very willing to acknowledge that this all started here. A very common thing is this what people say, that, you know, the shed is the reason I get out of bed in the morning.
Sometimes I come into the shed just to get away from the rest of my problems, just to forget about the medical stuff, to forget about the crap that's going on. You come in here and you don't ask for the help. You just get the sort of peer support to self-help. And that's what it's all about. And support is necessary for everybody.
All right, there we are, folks. That's the first little clip there. And yes, indeed, the Men's Shed movement kind of did start over there in Australia, over the ditch there. So we'll come back with one from Ireland, then one from New Zealand. Someone goes by on the show. We're going to play for you now a Lou Reed song called New Sensations. This is a live version from the Capitol Theatre from 1984. And I've left a little preamble thing where he talks about how he came to write the song in it. For your listening pleasure, enjoy.
I was out on my motorcycle taking a ride out near the Delaware Water Gap. And a cop came over and he pulled me over to the side and he said, "Do you realize the speed you were going?" I said, "No, officer, I didn't. It's a Harley. The speedometer's about 30 miles off, so I didn't mean it." He said, "Well," he said, "aren't you Lou Reed?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "Geez, I didn't know you went out motorcycling." I said, "Well, sure, you know, I've got a farm with goats and chickens, and I'm just one of the local things." He says, "Well, I never thought I'd live to see the day I would meet Lou Reed near the Delaware Water Gap on a motorcycle. And I'm not going to give you a ticket." Well, I was so amazed by that that I ran home and wrote a very positive song showing my positive outlook on things, and this is called New Sensations.
Talking about your new sensation.
Pennsylvania by the Delaware Gap. Sometimes I got tired and lost, I had to check my map. I went to a roadside diner for a burger and a Coke. There were some country folks and some hunters inside. You know, somebody got their cells buried and somebody they died. I went to the jukebox and I played myself a hillbilly song. It was really late, cold when I went outside. I headed for the mountains, feeling warm inside. You know I love that Harley all so much that I could kiss her. I said, ooh, 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 give me sensation. Hey, hey, talking, that's a new sensation. I said, hey, I'm talking about a new sensation.
Alright folks, that was a great live version here of New Sensations by Lou Reed. And now here, we go to Ireland to where the Irish government actually pays for men's sheds. And this is a rural thing out of Ireland.
Men's sheds have been around for 7 or 8 years, and for sheds to get the recognition that has come from the department and from the government is hugely significant. It has had a huge impact, not just on the sheds, but also on the communities that the sheds are actually operating in. We look at rural Ireland and we see in the very early days of men's sheds, there's a huge issue with rural isolation. It's about that sense of connectiveness. It's about that sense of being able to come together and make that connection in your community. And for a lot of people, having a shed to go to was that avenue and that vehicle to actually let them connect again. A young guy had walked into the shed and he said he wanted to learn how to do a piece of wood turning. And he had this obsession with being able to wood turn. He thought this could be something he could really get involved in. And he asked, could anyone show him how to do it? There was a retired carpenter in the shed who took him under his wing and showed him how to do that. But in 2 weeks, he was turning his own little wooden bowl, which was just fantastic to see. But when I walk in and I talk to the guys in the shed and the older man in the shed who'd shown him how to do that and asked him how did he find that experience, and the response was he found it so rewarding for himself to be able to pass on that knowledge and experience he has. But for him, the biggest thing he took from was for the first time in his life, someone showed him how to send an email on his phone. Men's Shed is a safe, secure environment where men can come together, meet other people in the community and feel connected.
Righto, folks, there was a little snippet of a men's shed from rural Ireland where, like I said earlier, the government does support such things. And now I'm going to play for you a little bit of the history of a men's shed in Auckland East, back here in Aotearoa. So here we go.
Welcome to the Men's Shed, Auckland East. This video is being made in September 2020 during the COVID-19 lockdown. Its purpose is to record the progress of our shed, tell people about men's sheds, and showcase some of the community projects completed so far. Our shed is located on the edge of the Waiata Rural Reserve in East Auckland. It is currently around 300 square metres and is being developed into a major community resource for current and future members. We have recently added another shed alongside the existing shed for storage of our many donated materials. The development program so far has established woodwork, engineering and technology workshops, and an area has also been developed for independent use by community groups. This comprises a large meeting room, a kitchen and toilet block, which can be closed off from the main workshop area. We currently have over 160 members and are open 5 days a week. A website has recently been created to illustrate many of the community projects we have completed in the last 4 years. You can see our website at www.msae.nz. During the COVID-19 lockdown, members communicated 3 times a week through the video conferencing program Zoom. These videos were recorded and can be played anytime from our website video page. The videos comprise a mixture of members' experiences and guest speakers on subjects as diverse as the Olympic Games and heart health. Members' experiences vary from building a geothermal project in the Philippines, flying Sunderland flying boats around the Pacific, and travelling through Africa by combi van. These stories demonstrate the diversity of our membership. Men's Shed members are mostly retired men, but we also have younger members and women in our ranks. Our shed is open to anyone over the age of 20 years. The idea of a men's shed started in Australia over 2 decades ago. When men retire, their health often suffers. Depression and loneliness can set in, and mortality becomes a major factor. Men's sheds offer a safe and convenient place for men to meet, generate new friendships, and employ their many skills for their own mental health and the good of the community. Men's sheds are now a global phenomenon with thousands of sheds established throughout the Western world. Australia has over 1,000 men's sheds, and in New Zealand we have over 100 sheds. The result is happier, healthier and more engaged members and a better community. The Auckland East Men's Shed came about in 2016 when 3 mates, Bob, Terry and Keith, became neighbours in a new apartment complex in Stonefields. Having the same interests, they decided to investigate this thing called a men's shed. They arranged to visit Auckland's biggest shed, located on the North Shore. The visit encouraged them to set up a shed in the East Auckland area, and a public meeting to gauge interest was advertised and held on the 23rd of March 2016 in the Auckland Netball Centre. 45 locals turned up, and when volunteers were called for to form a start-up team, 7 visitors stepped forward to join the original 3. The Howick Men's Shed had been meeting in a cafe for some time because they had not yet found a shed. So the new Auckland East Shed followed their example with regular weekly meetings at the local Stonebank Cafe. Soon they started the search for suitable premises. Contact was made with the Auckland Council and the local community board. Both were very keen to offer help, to provide support and assistance. St Andrews Village and the Remuera Golf Course were also very helpful in providing short-term storage until a building was located. After 2 years of searching, suitable premises were finally identified and a lease was signed. The building selected was an old equipment storage shed used by the council for park maintenance. It needed upgrading and reconfiguring to create specialist spaces for members' activities. Among the group of new members were people with engineering and building skills. A plan was drawn up, and over a couple of years, members insulated, lined, and painted the building to a professional standard. Extraction and ventilation equipment was then installed. Many members in a local joinery company donated tools and equipment from their own workshops to establish a new community resource. Soon there were workbenches, hand tools, and power tools available. As time went on, applications were made to local charities to provide funding to upgrade equipment and complete the fit-out.
So there we are, folks. There's a bit of the story of how a men's shed thing started up in Auckland, at Auckland East, up there. So, it can happen, and it could happen in your community. Could happen in this community here in beautiful Whangaroa. If there's maybe a shed that a mechanic had maybe just moved out of or something like that, and needed a bit of work to get up to speed, could turn into a men's shed. Food for thought, isn't it, folks? So, yeah, maybe. Anyway, that's kind of, we're coming to the end of the show now, so I hope you enjoyed it, and ka kite, have a lovely week. Enjoy the beautiful sunshine while it's here. It's going to be a little patchy for the rest of the week, but all good anyways. We're going to go out with this one here by the Clean Court. Anything could happen. Have a great week, folks. Ka kite. See you next week.